In the military, I don't know who came up with this, but military quotes, mission first, people always. I don't know who first said that, but that's a lot of folks have used that. The idea that the military, at least we used to, had a mission, focused on the mission. And we are, in the folks in the service are subsuming themselves to a greater mission. But the people, you have to take care of people and families, especially back home. Because if I'm on the front lines and I'm worried about what's going on back home with my spouse, my kids, I can't focus on the mission at hand. So when we're taking care of each other, the military has hopefully learned that, but in the church, if we're not taking care of each other, the mission, the central mission of this church and every church, whether they know it or not, ought to be about God's glory. We gather to worship God, to bring Him glory, and to go out and serve Him. And it's better accomplished when we take care of one another. So, in Corinth, as Paul's been writing this, part of his purpose is they don't have a fully biblical worldview. They're looking to culture versus what God wants for them in a very cosmopolitan city, and a lot of problems. They think they're more spiritual than they are. We have that in the church. We have people that think they're very mature Christians when maybe not so much. They're puffed up with pride and arrogance, not having humility and loving each other. And there's a lack of unity and factions. And so in the section we've been in chapter 12 here now for broken into four messages, just because this is one of those topics that missing the context in what Paul was saying, we can overemphasize the spectacularness of spiritual gifts and what they are and how they work. That causes division in the church worldwide today and in local churches, but ultimately that's not Paul's message, but we've taken it step by step to discuss in this section public worship, radical individualism that the Corinthian church and the American church, I think, today, we want it our way. I want my music. I want things my way. I want, you know, the service. That just, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, sorry, leave. But conduct, communion, how they were divided at communion, and now with the spiritual gifts. And so this is a good place. We're finishing up chapter 12. We're going to take some time with the advent of the ultimate gift of love, Jesus Christ. So we'll be going through Advent and then starting in the new year, chapter 13, the great love chapter, help is central to everything Paul is hinting at the end here of our message today. But then love is necessary. And so the grace gifts, introduction, diversity, interdependence have been the last several times. God sovereignly gives diverse, different grace gifts for His glorious, unifying purpose in the church. And it's consistent with a proper understanding of, big word, pneumatology, an understanding of God the Holy Spirit. When we understand who He is and what He does in the church, that helps put things in focus. But then also, we all need each other and our gifts, spiritual gifts, and we all have them, for the unity and benefit of the church family. That last time, if you were here, the body metaphor. All the different body parts don't brag because they're individual body parts, but because they are part of the body and all working together for the good of the body, that's a good picture of what a church family should look like. So the idea then of bringing balance to this final section Paul is re-emphasizing, which when Scripture repeats something, you better pay attention because it costs a lot of money to grab those sheeps and skin them and write. And so when God's word repeats something, pay attention. Different gifts, spiritual gifts, grace gifts, because that's where charismatic, that word to remind us, comes from the Greek word for grace. So charismatics are grace gifts. The different gifts do not imply different worth. Now we live in a culture and in churches. That's a big problem. How then should they function? Well, glad you asked. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking just at a few verses, verses 27 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 31. First of all, the necessity of diversity, verses 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And so the emphasis then on this diversity, these different gifts, it's almost like Paul saying, let's be clear. If you didn't get my whole body metaphor the last bunch of verses, you, and that's very strongly emphasized, you, Corinth, but you are Christ's body. A very local church emphasis. So this is appropriate for any local church family, individually in part, and for the benefit of the whole. So we are all interdependent on each other. You are Christ's body. And then he gives a list. And one of the great Gordon Fee's a really well-known New Testament scholar, but I like his. He then just gives a broad spectrum of spiritual manifestations. In other words, different types of gifts. So he's not focusing individually on the gifts, but he's giving an idea of, look at these gifts and what they're for. Well, there is a numerical priority here. First, apostles. Back in chapter 4, Paul said, you Corinthians, you think you've arrived and you're despising the apostles, the founders of churches, and you think you're more important than... So he's sort of reminding that apostles ultimately come from God as a spiritual gift. And in that narrow sense, an apostle was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus and called by God. We don't have any apostles today in that narrow technical sense. But the word also can mean generally one sent with the divine commission. So pioneering missionaries, ones folks sent out to strange new worlds to help found churches. In that sense, we could say we have apostles. Second, prophets. Well, the idea there is speaking a forthtelling, speaking forth truth, but also it can be foretelling, like prophecy. In one sense, there are prophets predicting. Think of Agabus that predicted what was going to happen to Paul. And so in that narrow sense, yes, that's available, but forthtell, speaking forth God's word, is a sense of prophets. Then teachers, those would be instructors in the, tell me where you've heard this before, meaning and application of Christian faith and doctrine, studying and teaching God's word. That's important as well. And so if there's any priority, this is probably more of a historical order, because Paul's been saying the gifts are all co-equal and have their purpose, so we're not going to rank people on their importance. But if there's any priority, not on status, but historical, the ministry of the word, so apostles, prophets, teachers, the ministry of God's word for the founding and edification of the church. God's church, local bodies, must be grounded in the word. And I'm thankful that that's what you folks seem to put up with. Not what culture values. Culture, we like other stuff in culture. Unfortunately, in the church, there are other things that distract from the centrality of God's word. You know, after the numbering, then there's a little word that says, then, miracles, you know, powers, gifts of healing, helps, and that word especially, assistance, especially to the weak, so helping one another. Administrations. Now get this, this is deep. This is deep. You army folks, take a note. That word, administrations, it's the root word, comes from to pilot a ship, a helmsman, navy, for direction and guidance. You always want the navy. That is where the word comes from. But then also various tongues. And maybe not coincidentally, it's listed last. So in other words, Corinthians, tongues have their place, but this is probably where the problem lies. And so there's all these other things that are just as important as the tongue. So diversity, necessity of interdependence then. Notice he's re-emphasizing last week. There's a lot of similarity to what he's saying here. Verses 29 and 30. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And so those are what are known as rhetorical questions, and that they assume or demand the word. No, of course not. We're not all gifted with all individually. That's why we work together, interdependence. And then the last verse, then that necessary conclusion that's going to look forward to chapter 13, but earnestly desire the best or greater gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And so desire, there's a lot of books I have on my shelf. Is that an imperative? Is that a command you need to desire? Or is it a statement of an indicative? Go round and round the idea of what are the greater or higher gifts? Well, what does that mean? As one commentator says, that the idea of grading those is calibrated according to how each gift contributes to the building up of the body of Christ. So you want to know the better gifts? They're the ones that build up the body, unify, not cause division. One of my professors has a quote that I like. The Apostle Paul seeks to prevent them from making any one gift the, here's where you adult Bible study learn the Latin phrase, the sine qua non, what? That without not. If you don't have this, it's essential. So by making any one gift the essential, the sign without which one might legitimately call in question whether the Holy Spirit was present and active. In other words, Corinth was saying, unless you have this particular gift that we think is important, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And Paul's saying, no, no, no. These are all to be used for edifying. Christians may pursue what is best of the charismatic gifts, but they have no right to any particular one and must ultimately trust the wisdom of their Heavenly Father's gracious distribution through the mediation of His Holy Spirit. God decides sovereignly purposes. And this is part of the problem which today, and I think I've shared, that I know pastor friends who actually had classes teaching them how to speak in tongues. You know, I want that one. Well, but God maybe didn't give that to you. Yeah, but I can fake it. And that happens a lot, unfortunately. And so the idea is God decides, don't abuse it, don't pursue that which is God and the Holy Spirit has not given you. So then he talks about a more excellent, I like that, that's where we get our word hyperbole, the more hyperbolic way, the more excellent way, which of course is going to be, spoiler alert, love, everyone can display love. That builds up. No competition and divisions when it comes to love. And it's an entire, I show you a more excellent way, that's a good word, the way, an entire way of life, love. You'll have to wait till next year to get that more in depth. So just a couple thoughts about some of this. Each person in the church is important to the whole. God gives each local church, community fellowship of Christians, what gifts and whom, you people would be the whom, it needs to serve for His glory. We all have equally important roles. Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, a little longer passage, but another of the listings of spiritual gifts. For I say, through the grace given to me, Paul says, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So notice how one body, different gifts, one body. And by the way, the idea of roles and earlier in worship and roles of husbands, wives, in Ephesians chapter 5, the husband's responsibility to his wife is grounded in that body imagery. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The idea of husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The body is central. So each person in the church is important to the whole. That's sort of a reprise from last week. So you people are special. Whether I like it or not, you're special. But then, you know, in any organization, in the military, I remember this, be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. To remind us, a definition from Dr. Wayne Grudem, another one of my professors, but wrote a big book. The definition of spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church, given to each one for the profit of all, back in verse 7, bringing unity. So the solution, working together, body, using gifts, use your gifts. Don't hide them under a basket, or don't be a slacker. You know, that's one of those things that we all have gifts. Oh, no, I don't. You do. We want to encourage everyone to be able to use their gifts. Don't hide your talents. I know who's going to be singing solos next week. You're hiding your talents. But and none of you actually, there is no spiritual gift, the spiritual gift of complaining. None of you have that gift, okay? But some verses, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, talking about the gift, the Spirit, and the gifts, the grace gifts, the spiritual gifts. Do not quench the Spirit. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, Paul to young Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. 2 Timothy 1, 6, therefore I remind you, young Timothy, to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So using gifts, folks, using gifts, we need them. An example, you've heard of spiritual disciplines, and there's a whole industry about this that is good, but it could also then become sort of a forced, well, I can become automatically mature if I just do the right spiritual gifts. And that's always read the Bible and pray more. Read the Bible and pray. Take 2 aspirin, read the Bible, and pray, and in the morning you'll feel better. Reading the Bible and praying is excellent, but it's not just automatic. It requires devotion and diligence. We don't presume on grace gifts. So because we are saved by grace through faith, there's nothing we can do to please God. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. We don't presume on that. We live our lives in light of that. See, that's one of those false dichotomies that, I prayed a prayer once and now I'm saved. Well, maybe, maybe not. We've got to make sure we are serving the God who saved us despite ourselves. So, not presuming. So, faith in God should lead to faithfulness in us, our lives. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Those who are righteous, been made righteous by what Jesus has done, lives lives of faith for his glory. So, spiritual people, well, Paul, the letter to the Romans, he quotes this, but ties this in, Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, the purpose of the book of Romans, by the way. So what does it mean to be spiritual people? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So who are spiritual people? Christians. Those who have trusted in Christ and are indwelt, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Now, we have different functions and gifts. Let's use those in the family to bring God glory. So what about those roles and those words, the Greek helps and administrations? Things here, now here's sort of a shameless plug that didn't plan this, but talking about how we can, you can help out or we can help each other. Things like necessary deacon, these would be considered deacon in the small d, deacon. That word just means ministry or servers, Acts chapter 6. But those who serve the physical needs, things that need to be done in the church. Finances, keeping up the building. We have some wonderful folk at, I won't embarrass people, but we have wonderful finance committee. We've got a committee on committees to decide committees, I think. Don't we? I think we do. Back in my Baptist days, we had a committee on committees. Who decides who's on that committee? I don't know. But building, so trustees, finance. We have an actual deacons that take good care of the church family. What about gifts of things serving? You know, the meals we have. The ultimate helmsman, I will embarrass this person, the ultimate helmsman who wishes she was in the Navy, our ministry coordinator, I give you Trudy Buck. Yep. She wishes she was in the Navy, helmsman. But what an important function. You know, if you think about a helmsman. Steering, guiding, and making sure. And of course, our board and El Presidente. So all these things, the boards, committees. Picture me with a big red, white, and blue hat on. I want you. No, if God wants you and you are willing and able to serve, please let me know, because this is, we have folks that do a good job, and you know, we can always use help. God calls. It's one of those things that is God calling you, not, I'd like to do that. That sounds like an important job. I want to do, well, good, but make sure it's what God wants you to do. And there's an old elder we had back at our church in Nebraska. You know, God doesn't call, how do you put it? God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. There's some truth to that, but God works through all of us. And so once again, you're all special. We had awe. Can I get an awe? And part of it is a church. We are not an organization. We're an organism. We're a body. Okay, see, so worldly, I get a little tired of church growth, and we've got to do it like the corporations, and we have even some of the terminology, unfortunately, makes it seem like we're an organization versus a church family. So, all right, so be part of the solution. Stop being part of the problem. We should have the right motive while serving. And so we're looking forward now to love. Love is a way of life. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Think of the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God, heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor. The new commandment I give you on Monday, Thursday, that you love one another as a church family, disciples, but as a church family, as I have loved you, says Jesus, who's about to die on the cross a few hours later. So love, biblically defined. Our world messes up that term love. And so that idea of loving, promoting God and others rather than self. That's what Paul is saying to Corinth. We love each other. We serve together as opposed to look at me. I'm important. And that should characterize the church. So I challenge, and I once again, as pastor officially, in my official capacity, this church family, what a privilege to be a part of you people. What are we known for? I mean, we've got visitors that actually came back. I wish you wouldn't, but But what are we known for? What is our reputation in the community? Are we witnessing, representing God and His glory, or, you know, that's the first church of you know, look how important we are. And so what are we known for? We do a good job. But by God's grace, through God's grace, and by God's grace, we can always do better. And we pastors can be some of the worst. You know, where do pastors get called? When I talk, well, why are you in the ministry? Oh, well, good job. Or, man, paycheck. And I get to be important. Folks, that's for pastors, a lot of destruction done by pastors to church families because they're not doing it for the right reason. Now, obviously, on the other side, you know, churches can harm pastors and in a lot of ways because, well, you're not tickling our ears the way we want, or you know, you're not cool enough or whatever. In Italy, when we put into Naples, for a while, the Italian sign, Senso Unico. That's, Georgia, did I say that right? She's back there. I don't know where she is. She speaks Italian. So, Senso Unico, one way. And we used to start talking about each other. Oh, you're just a Senso Unico. One way, in it for yourself. It's all my way, one way. Not in the church. We don't do Senso Unico. God gifts and defines what is important for His church, and what spiritually and love truly are. Once again, biblical definitions. And we don't need to be like other churches. Well, why can't we be more like so-and-so? Well, God has gifted us different. And maybe they're doing some things that we can learn from. But if, you know, those of you with the spiritual gift of complaining are, you know, saying, why can't we be like? Well, then why don't you go there? Blessed subtraction. I can say that with humor with you folks because you're not like that. But we don't have to be like. God is, we're unique. Remember, we're special. And so we are here in our own unique way, based on who we are, to serve God. So, love, that'll be next time after the new year, is not going to be a substitute for the gifts, but it is a, like we read in our call to worship, it is a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That is the result of the Holy Spirit in us individually and as a church family. It's the fruit of the Spirit that accompanies or should accompany all we do as spiritual people. If you're a Christian, you are a spiritual person the way Paul defines it. God's grace gifts function best when used for the loving good of the entire church family, not Senso Unico, self-promotion or status. Folks, and so I'm thankful. This is Thanksgiving week. I am thankful for you and some C's for our country, the history, the providence of God in our church family. So I'm thankful for our country. I'm thankful for the church, the body of Christ worldwide, the faithfulness of Christ. And so our faith in His faithfulness can help us to be faithful people. And then CFC, notice the C's. This is a good Baptist sermon. 3 points, an alliteration, and a poem, and a prayer. CFC, I'm thankful for you folks. And then I'm thankful for turkey. Wait, that's a T. Cranberries. And so when we in this country can enjoy meals with family, that's special. All for God's glory. Thank you for your patience. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. And I look forward to the Advent season. I would encourage you to come help decorate the church. Boy, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it goes pretty quick. There's more malarkey than there is actual work done. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that we can gather here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the church family. I thank you for this particular church family, and help us to even more so love on one another, value one another, work together for the common good of all, so that Park, Teller County, Colorado, the Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world can see the warmth of your fire kindled in our midst, and others might be drawn to that. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.